All right, church. Say these words with me, please. No more.
No more. No more.
That's right. Say it like Ben. No more.
No more.
That's right. Sai comes in this morning, and she sits in the van for about 10 minutes before she comes in. And when she came in, she's like, hey, she's doing pretty good. But I said, hi, Riley. Hi, Andy. Marched right past me. She said, yeah, we had some come to Jesus time in the car on the way. Does it always happen on the way to church, Mom? On the way to church, Dad, trying to get ready on Sunday morning. And so I looked right at her. I said, Riley, did you let the devil in? She looked at me big eyed. You know what he did this week? Devil tried to upset me too. Devil tried to use Facebook to get me down. And for a minute I let it. And I apologize. I let it. You know what he did this morning? He said, it ain't working. Preacher's in a good mood. Children's pastor's in a good mood. More people. Some people have. We're not going to worry about the Pharisees, alright? We're not going to worry about how many people this and that, because he's scared and we're not. You know what we got to do this week? Carolyn's been all week working on the annual report. I think that's why the devil's kicked off. I do. Because nobody likes the annual report. We kind of have fun right now with it, don't we, Carolyn? See, last year we sent in the annual report. We had 37, 38 new members in a year. It was more new members than NBC had over the last 6 years. You know how many we sent in this year? Over 70. That's all right. That's all right. You know how many people we got to send in last year we were having in church? 85. That was awesome. You know how many we got to send in this year? 151. Woo! Devil's upset. That's okay. You know what I have to say? Devil, you don't get to stop this. You don't get to infect our wives, our husbands, our fathers, our workplaces, our children. You don't get to use everyday circumstances to keep us from what you have for us. We will not bow down to cables and cords that just don't work right. We will not bow down to the fact that it was chilly in here when some of y'all got in here this morning and you didn't like it. We will not bow down to the fact that some days those Wi-Fi connections don't work and we have to check in kids manually. Heaven forbid you got to write your child's name down because for the last 8 weeks you've gotten to type in your phone number and it prints it out for you. Can I tell you something else we've been talking about too that'll make you laugh, but you need to hear it? I was sitting with Stephen and Spencer the other day, and we started talking about something. And you know, church, we're getting a little bit, we got to be careful, because we're getting a little bit entitled. You know what we were talking about doing? Putting the table up out there with the coffee pot on it. Some of y'all would come in next Sunday and no coffee there, and you would throw a fit. You know you would. You would absolutely throw a fit. Preacher, where's the coffee? It's a gift, not an entitlement, church. You can have church without coffee. I got one amen. That's a good one. And you need to look inside yourself and you need to say, I can live without that caffeine. No more. So if y'all come in next week and there's no coffee, just giggle. I will be. Let me tell you something. It's a treat. It's a gift. It's something that we do because we want to. But if we line up and we expect it, and our kids expect it, and they start having, and I heard this morning, competitions about how many cups they can drink, then it's abused. And it needs to go away. So moms and dads, watch your kids. Husbands, watch your wives. Wives, watch your husbands. My job, to watch you. All right? Let's take joy in the things that we can. And let's not get frustrated. I got frustrated this morning. We sound checked for 30 minutes. Nothing went wrong. We come in here and the devil's going. And I'm going, oh. And then I realize something. No. You don't get to control how my worship is because I don't have the guitar sounding the way I want it to sound. Jesus doesn't need the guitar. He needs you. With your hands in the air, if that makes you comfortable, if it doesn't, that's fine. With your voices lifted loud, excited about what God is doing in our church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Joshua, tell you a little something about where we are. I had a guy last week trying to make my preaching a little more difficult. He's not here, so I can write him. Trying to make my preaching a little more difficult. He says to me last week, he says, hey, I think he was trying to be encouraging. He says, preacher, I don't know how you're going to preach the rest of this book, because I'm not sure how you're going to get better than that one. You know what? I didn't hear, good job, little buddy. I heard, good luck trying to finish the next 7 weeks and do it any good at all. And then I went back to work like I'm supposed to and started looking through it. There are, check this out. There are exactly, we've done 10, so there are exactly 14 more chapters to go. Now, it took me about 8 weeks to get through the first 10. That's pretty good. I normally do part of a chapter. We're through 10 chapters in 7 or 8 weeks. We've got 14 more to go. I can tell you what happens in those 14 chapters in 2 minutes. And if you'll look with me right now at the bold type, the highlights up at the top, we're going to go through this for a second. I'm going to explain to you how this is going to go. Chapter 11, the northern kings are defeated. Chapter 12 is a list of the kings defeated. Chapter 13 is the land that was still to be taken. Chapter 14 is the division of the land that they're going to take. Chapter 15 is them giving Judah their part. 16, Ephraim and Manasseh their part. 17, the rest of the people their part. 18, Benjamin his part. 19, Simeon his. All they do is kick people's hindsides for 3 chapters and divide it up for the rest. And then the last one is Joshua got old. So at first I thought, I can do it. And then I thought, maybe Brother Russell was right. Stephen and Spencer and I talked about it yesterday. The meat of Joshua is in the first 10 chapters. The rest of it is divided. But deep down in my spirit, I know one thing to be true. One thing to be ultimately true. The Word of God is living and active, and sharper than a two-edged sword. And it is profitable for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training in righteousness. All of God's Word is valuable. And I know there's something in there. So as I was reading, let me see if you catch what I caught. In chapters 11, we're going to talk about the kicking hindsight part. Chapters 11 and 12. Listen. Jacob, king of Hazor, heard this. He sent word to Jobab, king of Madon. This really sounds like rednecks and not Old Testament people. I mean, Jethro's son, Jobab. If not true. And the northern kings were in the mountains in Arabah, south of Kinnereth, west of the foothills of Naboth Dor in the west. to the Canaanites and the Eves, and the Amorites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites in the hill country and the Hivites. They came out with their large troops. Let me explain that to you. There was a whole lot of bad guys from all over the place. And their forces joined together and they made camp. Then the Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid, because by this time tomorrow I'm going to hand them over to you. You are going to hamstring their horses and burn their chariots. So Joshua's whole army came against them at the waters of Meribah and attacked them. And the Lord gave them to Israel. They defeated them, pursued them. Joshua did what the Lord had directed. At that time, Joshua turned back, captured Hazor, and destroyed it, and put everyone to the sword. Joshua took the cities. He destroyed them, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. Look on down to verse 15. As the Lord, the servant, commanded his servant Moses. So Moses commanded Joshua, and Joshua did it, just as the Lord commanded Moses. I'm reading through here. Look at verse 20. It was the Lord himself who hardened Israel's servant, as the Lord had commanded Moses. At the time Joshua went from the place, 23. So Joshua took the entire land, just as the Lord had directed. Y'all notice something repeating going on here? Yes! Yes! To say what you just said as a child who has no idea what's going on in the battlefield of Joshua, say what you just said. He's doing everything Moses was. From the mouth of babes. Listen to me. I'm reading through this and I'm thinking, how am I going to preach on he kicked his butt, he kicked his butt, he kicked his butt, he kicked his butt? How am I going to preach on that? It'd be fun, but that's all it is. But over and over, I kept seeing this line. And Joshua did as the Lord commanded. And Joshua did as the Lord had commanded Moses. And Joshua did as the Lord had commanded. You know right here, repeat something, don't you? So you remember it. So people will get it. So I asked myself, why in the world would the Bible author, okay, why in the world would the writer of this keep saying, as the Lord commanded Moses? And church, he wants to remind you of something I've been trying to tell you. He wants to remind me of something we've been trying to teach. Remember how I used to start off? Where are they going? They're going to conquer what? The promised land. It's called the what?
Promise.
Because God did what? But over and over again, they have gone and they've said, well, we can't do that. Well, we can't do that. Well, maybe we shouldn't do this. Or maybe we can't do that. Or those people are bigger than us. Or blah, 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 blah. And God's going, I promise it to you. We're going to look at what happens when you don't do everything. everything that God says. Now, in order for this to work, you have to do everything that God says. Let me give you an example of how this goes. In John, the book of John, chapter 2, there is a story of a wedding. Okay? Jesus shows up at this wedding, and he and his buddies are hanging out, holding hands, singing Kumbaya, having Sunday school, and everybody's having a big party. And the party is going really well until they what? They ran out of wine. Everybody's partying. They run out of wine. Jesus has never done anything publicly before, but this is when God chooses. Jesus doesn't choose. It's important to look at the text. God chooses to send Mary to tell Jesus, and Jesus says, it's not time. And God says, yes, it is. And so Jesus pulls a Jesus. A Jesus that you all aren't used to because you're not funny. You think Jesus is boring, and he is not boring. Jesus says, I don't want you to go get grapes because that's what wine is made of. I don't want you to go get tap water because it's clean. Oh no, I want you to go get the jars that people have been dipping their feet in and washing their face in and washing their hands in with sand and scum all at the bottom. I want you to go get those and I want you to fill them up. And I want you to notice a very important sentence. Here's what it says. They filled the jars with water to the brim. Didn't fill them partway. Didn't fill them halfway. Filled them all the way. And Jesus says, that's not the lumen. Yeah, take it now. Give a big jug of that nasty goodness out and hand it to your boss. And when they hand it to the boss, they hide. Because they don't want to get their head chopped off by the boss. Because they just handed him some nasty footwater. And the boss takes a big bring out the cheap stuff last. And the good stuff first, because when people are a little bit, you know, they don't know. But you brought the best stuff. Listen, when they did everything the Lord asked, all the way, no question. You didn't see the Olympians go, why the foot water? Why not tap water? Why not some purified water? Why not some grapes? You can just jump on them real fast. None of it made sense. But they did exactly what Jesus said. And what happened? Miracles! What about John? Peter, James, and John in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, they fishing all night. Nothing. From the shore, Jesus is like, hey. That's not King James. Hey.
Low.
That was funny. Right? He gets in the boat. He goes out with them. He says, hey, Pete, let's fish. Pete says, I got holy nets. And I'm not talking about Jesus holy. I'm talking about holy. No fish. Pull them, fish fall through. Jesus says, just put them on this side. The fish are over here. And he says, I'm going to put them on this side. The fish are at the bottom. That's okay. Put them on this side. So Peter throws it over. Boat almost tips over. Fish everywhere. Jesus says, that's what you get for listening. Over and over again. When people listen, miracles happen. Over and over again. Even though the Bible says they were as numerous as the sands on the seashore, Joshua and the Israelites, who aren't warriors, were facing a group of army people that one king had gathered all the other kings together and got them all together and put them out. They were as numerous as the sand. They were huge. It was people everywhere. And the Israelites are like, ah! God said they were going to win. So, church, do you believe that God has victory for us? Are you sure? Y'all were like all over that. I heard two men go, here. Well, let me respond to your response. You responded verbally exactly how most of us respond with our lives. Mm. You just responded verbally to exactly how we respond with our lives.
I'm good. I believe God can do it. As long as there's no soccer games. I believe God can do it. As long as there's no baseball games. I believe God can do it as long as there's no football on. As long as the new girl I'm dating doesn't want to go out. As long as I don't have to, you know, work because I don't want to ask off. That's how you respond to God. Yeah, I'll go fight the Amorites and the Jebusites and the Canaanites. I'll go fight them as soon as my TV show goes off. What if that's what they said? What if these guys are playing, you know, paper, rock, scissors? I don't know what they played back then. And they're like, hold on, God. We got about 17 more rounds to go, and then we'll go fight. But that's okay for us. I will be in church as long as there's not a cross-country meet that day. I will give in the offering plate as long as I can make my rent. I will give to the well fund as long as my cell phone bill is not due. Let me ask you a question, church. Do you actually trust God to do what He says He's going to do after He's already asked you to do something, and you do it to the full? Not sometimes, all the time. The reason people don't see the miracles God has for them is because they don't do everything God tells them to do. And you know what happens when the miracle I told them to do the same thing, remember, as Moses said. Let me ask you another question. Do you want to figure out 35, 40 years down the road that amazing things are happening through your children and God wanted it to happen through you? Is that what you want? Do you want to run along right here at 85? 95 people in the sanctuary for the next 25 years. And then these kids right here, they get it. They go, whatever it takes. You can have all my money. You can have all my time. You can have all my service. Everything comes second to God. And all of a sudden, there are 400, 500, 600 people in the church. The church has more money than it knows what to do with. People in Jessamyn County are being fed. Heroin is wiped out. And they did it. Not because they were smarter. Not because they were better. Not because of anything other than they did exactly what God said. And they trusted that He was going to take care of it. You want to be the ones looking back going, oh yeah, Moses said that, but... Or you want to be the ones that see the victory now? What's it going to be? Because you're going to sing victory in Jesus. You're going to sing faith is a victory. You're going to sing all these hymns about how good, good Father Jesus is. But when He asks you for something, you're in charge. When He asks you for something, you're making the rules. When He asks you for something, you are doing what's convenient for you. When it's convenient for you. And God says, all I'm looking for is people when the odds are insurmountable, when the money's not there, when the time's not there, when my kids want to do something more than they want to do church, when the mommies and daddies want to do something more than they want to do church, when all of that comes down, do you choose Jesus or something else? Because there are a few things that are already set out there for you, just in case you're wondering. Some of you are like, you know what, Craig? I would be willing. I would be more than willing to do anything that God asked me to do if He spoke to me. If the bush started burning and He spoke to me, I would do whatever He asked. Well, that's all well and good, except there's a story in the Bible about a landowner who gave 5 talents to one guy, 2 talents to one guy, and 1 talent to another guy, and he went away. And his only instructions were to take care of this, to do something with this money. Okay? And when he comes back, the 5 guy hands him 10. The 2 guy hands him 4. The 1 guy hands him 1. And here's the deal. He didn't take his money. He didn't take it. He didn't steal it. He didn't lose it. He didn't do anything bad. But the problem was, he didn't do anything. And the Bible says he was thrown where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That would be hell. Sounds like a pretty bad thing. Here's the problem. Moses died before he saw the promised land. People died when they didn't do what God asked them to do. People were killed. They were slaughtered. Their heads were cut off. Their throats were cut. They were disemboweled. That sounds harsh, but here's the deal. God has so much more, and you don't need to wait until He speaks to you. He's been trying to speak to you for your life.
Well, what? Whatever do you mean?
Well, let's look at the talents. What are some things you know God asked you to do? How about come together and worship my name? Well, I do that when there's nothing else going on. Then God says, okay, I'll allow you to have the miracles I laid out for you when there's nothing else going on. What about giving? Well, I give when the rent's paid and the cell bill's paid, and I check my pockets and there's an extra 20 or an extra 12 or an extra 25 in there, or there's something I believe in, like the youth ministry or the children's ministry, I give. Oh. What about serving? What about helping out? What about being here at the church, making sure the walls are painted, making sure the toilets are clean, making sure the kids' area is disinfected? I'll do that as long as when I'm not. Why would God speak to you? He knows what the answer is going to be. That hurt? I'd love to apologize because I care about you. I won't because it's Scripture. We've been talking about the amazing things that God is going to do and is doing in our church. This is nothing. This is nothing, man. This is fruity pebbles. They are good, aren't they? Yeah. Trust me, breakfast can be a whole lot better. You see what I'm saying? Some of us are satisfied with fruity pebbles because it's more than nothing. You know why NBC is so excited? Because 95 is more than nothing. But somewhere out there, God has a 950 or a 9500. Well, Craig, when's He going to do it? When my children, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face. Not when it's convenient, but first. When my people give first. When my people serve first. When my people love first. When my people respond to me first, then I will do greater things than they will ever ask for or imagine. I believe that you believe that God loves you. And do. I believe that you believe that God has a plan for you. I do. But I believe you believe it because you memorized it. I believe you believe it because you learned it. You learned it in Sunday school. God doesn't just want you to learn it. God wants you to live with it. And as we live it out, we will see victory over victory and battle over battle won. And He will give us the land. And He will give us the nations. And they defeated the king of Jericho and the king of Ha'a and the king of Jerusalem and the king of Hebron and the king of Jarmuth and the king of Lachish and the king of Eglon and the king of Gezer and the king of Deborah and the king of Gedor and the king of Horma. That looks like a really boring passage. Just a really boring passage. Yes, a really boring passage just to read a list. Some of you that if you looked at me and you said, Craig, I'm so excited about what God's doing for our church. I believe you, and I believe that you're all in. And there are others of you who you said, man, I am so excited about what God is doing in our church. And I will go, I love you, bull. Because you believe it as long as everybody else is doing it. You believe it as long as you can drop your kids off and somebody else watches them on Sunday morning so that you can have church. You believe it as long as the coffee's out there because this church has coffee and they'll give it to you. You believe it as long as somebody does something for the youth here because we need to have a youth ministry program. And as long as somebody else is paying for it. Craig, God doesn't speak to me. Church, God's already spoken. God's already asked of you. God's already shown you He's willing and ready to do amazing things in our midst. This is going to be a great attendance Sunday. I can tell by looking out there. It's also pretty cool because there's more of you in the middle than normal. Sometimes it's like, I feel like I'm preaching like this because everybody's over here. Sometimes I'm like, hey. But today it's like, ah, we're balanced. I'm going to fall off my stool today. I'm trying not to walk around as much. I've walked around some, but y'all notice I've got these stools and I've been spending, you know, at least half or more of the time right here. God made the sun stand still. And everything that came up against the Israelites failed. When they listened, they beat the south. They beat the north. They beat every king. They killed them all. They killed their animals. They killed their people. They got to take all of their riches. They plundered their towns. God's people were blessed. Now, let me say that I'm not condoning that we go out and start killing every pastor and killing every church member and taking all their members and all their offerings. And no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying these people weren't carrying out something that was new. Something that happened since they were born. They were victorious because they carried out what nobody else did that God said a long time ago. Do you get that? That's where the Moses thing came in. That's why Moses kept showing up. It's not like God said, oh, I've actually got a new plan for you guys. You guys are going to go into the promised land and I'm going to help you beat them all. I know that he's going to bless. And he wants you to be a part of it because he loves you. Again and again, I come back to this story. Again and again, I know. About the wise and the foolish builders. House on the rock, house on the sand. You know, you've got to hear that story like the Jewish people would have heard it. Common sense. It was common sense to build your house on something that wouldn't fall, not on something that would, because your house was the biggest investment you would have. It would take care of your family. It would cover you from the wind. If it falls, you fall. Your children fall. So, let's get it on a firm foundation. But then God says, listening to me is just like that. Obeying me is just like that. The whole rock and sand story is not about foundations. It's about obedience. Here's what God was trying to say. Just like you know that it's common sense to build your house on the rock instead of on the sand, it's common sense to obey me instead of everybody else. Well, God, why is that? Well, because if I tell you about something tomorrow, I'm not guessing. I'm already there. If I tell you about something that's financial, I'm not guessing because I already own it. If I tell you about something that you need to do, I'm not guessing because I've already seen it done. Wouldn't you rather listen to the person telling you about tomorrow that's already seen everything that happens tomorrow and the day after that and the day after that? And it's just common sense to do that. Big question of the day. Why don't we? Y'all probably join the church if I could answer that, wouldn't you? I can't. And I ain't gonna try. Yep, flawed. Yep, sometimes I'm a failure. And this one, I'm a failure. Why don't we all do it, Jesus? I do not know. But here's what I will do. I'll walk with you today. I'll walk with you tomorrow. I'll keep on telling you exactly what Jesus wants. And I'll do a little dance with you, even as a white guy, when it happens. That's all we can ask, right? That's all Jesus asks of us, right? Do this thing. And do it together. Do this thing. And do it together. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to do this thing. We're going to do it together. And we're going to watch God do amazing things. You have to answer this question for yourself. Do you want in? Do you want in halfway? You're going to get halfway out of it. Do you want in partway? You're going to get partway out of it. Do you want in all the way? You're going to get all the way out of it. And God wants to give you more than you could ever ask for or imagine. I'm going to say that until you're tired of hearing it. And then I'm going to say it again. God wants to do amazing. See? God's letting me know that it's right. Timing is everything. Listen to him. Camera's going to come. He's going to play. You're going to take a deep breath. And you're going to ask yourself this question. Okay, God. What do you want? That's it. Carolyn's going to ask. Shane's going to ask. Steve and Cindy are going to ask. Tyler's going to ask. Corey's going to ask. Okay, God. What do you want from me? What do you want? What do you want? And this is going to be playing over in your mind right now. I'm going to force it to. You ready? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. When you ask what do you want, you're going to hear something. And in the back of your mind, you're not going to be able to help but hear that song. And you're going to hate me. And I don't care. Because he's going to ask you for something. He's going to make you a promise. When everything else is gone, he'll be there. When there is no more money, he'll be there. When there is no more time, he'll be there. When there is no more hope, he will be there. God with us. Right there. So, you have to answer this question. What does he want from you? And then you've got to decide if you're going to respond. As he plays, and as we sing, you decide.